Hi, and welcome to The Literary Sipper. I'm Amber Beattie Hill, your host. And today's episode, we're going to be talking about a year of creative prompts. And in particular, the idea of setting creative goals and making progress on those creative goals, and how to do it with a little more grace and a lot less anxiety. I mean, most people have visions of product goals in mind, their book on a bookshelf, their painting in a museum, their song on the radio. And these are amazing goals to have. And it's very much part of the creative process to visualize yourself in these positions and visualize those paintings in a gallery, to visualize your book on the bookshelf, and to visualize yourself listening to your own song on the radio. But there is also this element of then what? So if your painting does make it in a gallery, if your song does get recorded, if your book does get on a bookshelf, what then? And the artist knows that they're going to be right back into their studio, right back at their desk, trying to figure out what it is they're doing. And now maybe they have an even bigger goal to set, or they have to live up to the potential of that first goal. And it is in that feeling of what next that I want to talk about the idea of having process goals instead of product goals. Most of us are not going to have our books on the bookshelf, and we are not going to have our paintings in a museum, and we are not going to have our songs on the radio. But does that mean that we shouldn't live a creative life? I don't think so. I think it's even more important that we live a creative life, to be in touch with our humanity, to make connections with other people, and to be in flow with the universe. All of these feelings with your unfinished work, your finished work, they can generate a lot of anxiety. It can generate a lot of bad feelings about yourself. Why did I spend so much time on that painting if it's not going to be shown anywhere? Why did I spend years writing a novel if I couldn't even get an agent? Why did I spend all of that time writing music if nobody's listening to it? And the reality is, the creative knows that in order to give shape to your life, you must create. Albert Camus said, to create is to give a shape to one's fate. And it is the idea that when we are in creation, when we are in flow, we are more in touch with the reality of what it is to be human than we are when we don't do it. And when we feel bad about what we've created, or we have a lot of anxiety around the what ifs, the what next, the what if they don't like it, the what if nobody sees it, then we don't get the sense that we are in connection with ourself and that we are in connection with the larger world. And so one of the things that I've encouraged a lot of people to do this year is to just set a goal to be creative in some level every day. And when you set creative goals, to have progress goals rather than product goals. So I ask you, which are you? Are you someone who cares about the product? I want to have a finished book. I want to have a gallery showing. I want to have a completed album. Or are you someone who says, I want to sit down every day and make something? I want to be in tune with myself and feel that the last thing I completed was that, just that. It was the last thing I completed, and there will be a next thing. It's like the ocean, you know, it comes back to us. It flows out with the tide and it comes back to us. Your creative energies are never ending. We just forget about them sometimes. And we find when we feel a little extra agitated or we feel a little stiff or stressed, oftentimes it's because we have not exercised that muscle. And so many of you are out there saying, well, Amber, I'm not creative at all. Like, I'm not a writer. I'm not a painter. I don't play a musical instrument. But I would say there's so many other ways to be creative in this world. People are creative thinkers. They are creative in terms of the way they dress, their fashion, the way they design their houses, what they cook for dinner. I mean, if that's not an act of creativity every night, especially when you don't want to do it, and it's a progress and a process goal. It has a product that is consumed and eaten with great delight, and there's also the process of making it. So many of those things can be considered being creative. A lot of people are avid readers. That's their greatest hobby. Well, what if you took that reading to the next level? I'm starting to see a lot more of my friends like posting little mini book reviews of what they've read on social media. That can be a creative enterprise. It doesn't always have to be the great American novel or the great oil painting that is akin to the Sistine Chapel. It can be small acts of great creativity that feed you, connect to your curiosity, connect to your exuberance, connect to the fun and the play of it all. I had this very strange moment the other day with a friend of mine, and we were talking on the phone, and she said, "You know, Amber, I got my paints out yesterday because this woman came across my Instagram feed who's a watercolor painter, and I just thought I could do that." And I knew exactly which woman it was, probably because the algorithm is showing both my friend and me the same feed. But I knew exactly what she meant by this woman being so encouraging, so lovely, and the ease with which she creates allows you to believe that you can create with the same sort of ease. So I would encourage you guys to really think about, what kind of person are you? Are you someone who's inspired by the product, or someone who's inspired by the process? And how do you keep track of those goals? And do you use prompts? Do you use the woman on Instagram or the printable that I sent out to my mailing list to try something new, to get theater tickets, to dress up and have a theater experience? Or are you someone who's going to then say, "You know what? I loved being in plays when I was in middle school. I'm going to audition for my local theater troupe." And I think there's something to be said for both of those things. For someone who supports the arts, who goes to the theater, who sees a play, who feels a certain way about it, feels excited and energized by the actors, by the stage production, by their own role as the audience. And then those who say to themselves, "I want to be a part of that." Now, you don't have to have the lead in that play, do you, to be a part of the theater experience? So how are you going to allow yourself to highlight your loves and be a part of those things that you love? And also then elevating the things that you love into your own creativity. Some of the ways that I encourage people to do this is to really look at the season you're in, not just the season you're in terms of your age, but the season you're in terms of the literal season. It's spring, it's coming. We want to be outside. Have you planned outdoor concerts for yourself? Have you planned a visit to a sculpture garden where you can walk around and really be among the art itself? Do you take yourself out on coffee dates and say, "I'm going to bring a journal and I'm going to write 3 poems before I leave this coffee shop"? Make those outings in the spring part of your creative process. When in this winter, we tend to turn inward, and in the spring, we turn outward. And try to highlight those changes for yourself. What kind of creating do you do in certain times of the season? If you're a gardener, you're obviously going to be outside a lot more lately, and it might not be the time to start an indoor project. You might not want to be inside writing. You might want to be outside in your garden, and it doesn't mean you're less of a writer. It just means your creativity and the energy behind it is shifting outward. This year, I created a 24 for 24 list of prompts for people to complete as a way of jumpstarting the creative life and really thinking about what it is that might inspire them to look at the world differently, to look at themselves differently. And when I look at that list that I created, I start to think about how each one of the things on that list can be highlighted in a different way, that you can, they can be, it can really become the guidelines for the goals you set for yourself and a way to jumpstart those goals. So if you are, for example, someone who needs extrinsic motivation in order to sit your butt in the chair and do the work, then you might do something like get yourself a new mug that you can only use if you are sitting at your desk. If you're someone who is inspired by other people and hearing what other people are doing in their creative lives, maybe it's time to throw a dinner party, a small one or a big one, and really hear about all of the things that other people are doing with their creative lives. Maybe you even make a rule that you can't talk about work, quote unquote. You can also only talk about creative work. And in whatever form that takes, maybe it is the fact that someone was finger painting with their child yesterday. That's a lot more interesting to me sometimes than hearing about the office politic. Another one that's on that list, for example, is trying your hand at New Yorker style cartoons. Oftentimes, I look at those cartoons and I think, oh, what a simple line drawing, but it's the clever one-line quip at the bottom that truly makes it funny, and those are very hard to write. So get yourself a back issue of New Yorker at the thrift store or something, take out the cartoon, erase the bottom line, and write your own line, and you'll be challenged in the sense of the humor, you'll be challenged in the sense of the brevity. And in that way, there's a lot that you can do to challenge yourself in a quick way so that when it comes down to sitting down in your longer work, you have kind of jump-started that notion. One thing that might be fun is to form an accountability group around the creative prompts themselves so that you can do weekly challenges with your friends and have a connection with someone else who's trying to jumpstart their creativity as well. You can have a shared creative journal where you each write about your experiences completing one of the prompts. You could, of course, meet in person, have a wine night, have a coffee date where you share what it is you finished that week and whether it was a good one or a bad one. Maybe some of those are just, you feel like it's time wasted. Maybe some of them led to bigger projects. But I think it's really interesting if everyone could have this group of people, small or large. It could just be one other person, or it could be a group like your book club that's already in place that you do this in addition to reading a book together. But that the idea of a creativity group where you are challenging each other to go out there in the world and really experience music and art and theater and asking yourselves, what makes me feel excited to create? And then as a group, you can reward that in whatever way feels good to you. Maybe it's with an end of the year trip to see a play, or maybe it is just knowing that you get to go out to dinner with a group of like-minded people at the end of a season and talk about all of the things that you've accomplished. But whether you do one of the prompts on the list or you do all 24, the whole point is to make sure you have self-compassion. That is the most important thing to cultivate in your creative life, because you can't beat yourself up for not making your goal or not finally finishing your work. You have to reward yourself and be gentle with yourself and think to yourself, I'm trying. I'm trying to make something, and making things is hard, and it's okay if I didn't finish, and it's okay as long as I really felt like my creative life was important to me this year. I hope you are well, and I hope you are safe, and I hope you feel loved, And above all else, keep making stuff. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to The Literary Sipper. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. If you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and review if you're feeling especially generous. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep putting your voice in the world. It's waiting for you.